Amen. Thank you, church. Thank you for praying. Know that God's word says that prayer is powerful. So we believe it, and that settles it. Let's keep on praying for our country. Your prayers do make a difference. And there's a special blessing when we come together in unity in prayer. There's extra power when we are agreeing with other believers. So there's a lot of precedence in the word for gathering as believers, and I believe Uncle Angus will be issuing another invitation tomorrow or shortly for another gathering. So if anyone can attend that, we would encourage you to attend that, to really intercede and stand in the gap for our nation. God is looking for believers. God is looking for faith over the earth, a people that will stand up for the truth and for love and to pray. And so, yeah, let's please be a part of that, church. All right, so this morning we don't have a lot of time left. We're also very excited to be baptizing a number of our congregants this afternoon. And as Venoria invited earlier, if you haven't been baptized yet, it's in Scripture. You can come talk to us after the service. Maybe the Lord lays it on your heart, and then join us today. You know my story. I felt God baptized me like 2 days after I got saved, because God gave me a revelation of baptism while I was in the shower. And it was very special for me, and I was telling everybody they must get baptized. And then 3 months later, when I got to a church, and I actually went to support a friend that I had made that was going to get baptized, and then I went to the pastor, because then it was just in the back of my mind, well, naturally, with the baptism ceremony about to happen, and I went and I spoke to the pastor about my experience, and then he showed me from Scripture, you know, you need to be immersed in water. You need to get baptized. And then I got baptized immediately. You don't have to delay. You don't have to put it off or hesitate. The word says that if you've given your heart to the Lord, get baptized. Every believer in the New Testament got baptized. Right. So after the service, please come to myself or Moja, and then we'll be going down to the dam. There is still water in the dam, enough for baptism. The Lord makes sure of it. There will always be water for baptism. Even if you're in the desert, we'll make a plan. This morning I want to just speak about an aspect of our salvation. This is actually the last Sunday in our focus on salvation. It's of course something we allude to throughout the year and in every service we have to. It's all about what Jesus did for us at the cross. But this morning I want to speak about the joy of the Lord. With the time I have left, the joy of the Lord. Now, what is joy? Let us distinguish very quickly between joy and happiness, because sometimes we get the two mixed up. Now, happiness, if we have to get some kind of a definition, would be dependent on a happening. You win the lottery, you're happy. You lose all that money within 3 years, like most people do, you're unhappy again. Okay, that's not got much to do with joy. Because the Bible says that even in suffering, we should be able to rejoice. The root being joy there. Now, what is that joy? That is something that's a bit deeper. It's not at the surface. It's a bit deeper. The joy that we are talking about is not dependent on a happening. It's about a person. It's about Jesus. That is where we get our joy from. The joy of the Lord. You've heard many people pray with you, the joy of the Lord be your strength. Where do we get that from? It stands in one place in the Bible, Nehemiah chapter 8. Now they had just rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem after their captivity, and they'd come back and rebuilt the walls. And then Nehemiah had Ezra come and read the law for the people and say, okay, now we're making a new beginning here. And we're going to come back to God like we want South Africa to turn back to Jesus. And they came and they read the law from daybreak, sunrise, until midday, until noon. Okay, so 4 or 5 hours of reading the law. And it says the people were crying. You'd probably also cry if I made you sit here for 5 hours and read through the 636 laws that the Jewish nation were following. But no, they were crying because in the previous chapter, they were confessing their sins. They were aware of their sins, and we've been speaking about salvation and said that there's no salvation. There can be no saving without repenting. Why would you come to Jesus? Why would you accept his offer of salvation if you don't understand and know that you need it? You need to be forgiven and saved from your sin, because otherwise your sin will lead you to hell eventually. So you become firstly aware of your great sinfulness, and then you recognize the need for a Savior, and the only one who could deal with your sin, and the only one who has dealt with it, Jesus Christ at Calvary. And then you come and you receive the offer of salvation and you enter into a new relationship and a walk in the joy of the Lord. So there first has to be repentance. So there's first sorrow. We're talking about joy of the Lord this morning, but sorrow is also part of the Christian life. You need to be sorrowful with godly sorrow about your sin. Otherwise, there's no repentance. No repentance, no salvation. But in salvation, there's a whole lot of joy. Joy is underlying. Joy is undergirding. Joy is always there. The believer always has something to rejoice about, no matter how tough it gets. Just because you believe in Jesus doesn't make life easy. There are still so many challenges that come across our path. But we have a joy that the unbelievers, that the world does not know. And sometimes, and it used to freak me out a lot, but not so much anymore, sometimes our faces don't seem to be connected to the rest of us and our spirit and the reality that we are saved and that we actually have the joy of the Lord in us. And our faces look all scrunched up and, you know, we just have things to moan about and complain about. We were in Malawi in October, and, you know, there's a lot of believers in Malawi. It's a very, go up Africa, and people's spirituality is, you know, right out there. They put it out there. They wear it on their sleeves. They talk about it. Their shops are always named after, you know, something pertaining to their spiritual life. And so you get a lot of, you know, blessing hairdresser, or, you know, Jehovah is God, shoe repairer, or whatever. That's all over the place. A funny one that I saw was, you know, people always complain, hardware shop. So, I don't know, maybe his opposition gets a lot more business than what he does, his competition, but people do tend to complain a lot, you know, even believers. We must watch out for it. It's a slow poison. And it will draw our minds away from the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. It will draw our minds away from what Jesus did for us at the cross. And before we know it, you know, we're in a deep, dark pit and we don't know God anymore. So we must always remind ourselves. I read the scripture last week. In Deuteronomy, where Jesus, at least where the Lord tells the Israelites to remember from where he has saved them, to remember from where he has brought them out of Egypt into the promised land, and that they will be receiving houses they did not build and barns full of grain that they did not work for. And so there's always something to be grateful for at all times. And we have to stir that up in ourselves. We've got that responsibility to remember what Jesus did for us. And that will lead to joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's look at that scripture in Nehemiah 8. And so it reads, Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And in the Hebrew, the joy of the Lord means delight in Jehovah, your strong refuge. Delight in Jehovah, your strong refuge. That is what that joy of the Lord translated into English means. Delight in the Lord. You know, it might be going so tough with us, but God is awesome, and He's perfect, and He's holy in all His ways, and that is our future. That is the hope that we have, that we're going to be with Him, and we're going to be like Him one day. In heaven, there's no more tears or pain, no more sorrow. In God's presence, the Bible tells us there is fullness of joy. So that is something to look forward to. So that is what we rejoice in. The fact that we have been saved from the penalty of our sin and that we will be saved from the presence of sin. Sin brings forth death. There's no rejoicing in that. But we can rejoice in the fact that we have been saved from that penalty and we will be saved altogether from the presence of sin. In heaven, there's no sin. There's fullness of joy. Joy is our response to what the Lord has done for us. And as believers, we need to remind ourselves of that sometimes. You know, in the early days, in the first, more or less the first 2 years, I felt a little bit guilty any time that I wasn't smiling. Because I was constantly aware of what the Lord had done for me. It was still so fresh in my mind, what God had done for me. And most of the time, you couldn't wipe the smile off my face. It's like on our wedding day. I don't know if you had that experience on your wedding day, but my cheeks were hurting by, you know, 9 o'clock that evening because I couldn't stop smiling and it's like cramping it, you know. And that was what it was like for me the first 2 years of knowing the Lord. I was just like smiling most of the time, but if there was ever anything that sort of upset me and I wasn't smiling, then I'd almost like remind myself, no, I'm a smile because I've got so much to be joyful about. You know, but that kind of wears off after a while. We must watch out for that. We must continuously stir that up. We must remember what the Lord did for us. We should look outwardly different from the unbelievers in our town so that they would actually come up to us and say, man, what do you have? I want what you got. You just always seem to be happy. Haven't you read the newspapers? Don't you know what's going on in our country? We can say, well, my strength, my joy lies in the Lord Jesus Christ. So yeah, it's going rough. But that doesn't steal my joy from me. I know where I'm going. South Africa is where I live right now, but it's not my home. One day I'll be going home. I'm a citizen of a whole another dimension. I'm just passing through. David said in Psalm 51, I want to run through a bunch of scripture before we go here, and just, I trust that the Lord will just really encourage us and restore that revelation of what He's done for us and who He is, and restore the joy of our salvation, as David writes here in Psalm 51. And this is after he had sinned with Bathsheba. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. So David, he was feeling really, you know, full of guilt and grief at what he had done. And he realized that it was driving a wedge between him and God. And he had lost his joy. He said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. I want that what we had at first, that first love. As we spoke about earlier this month, there used to be a silly ad when we still had SABC on the TV that was Danone yogurt, and the people were eating the yogurt so quickly and looking for the joy in the bottom. I don't know, I think that's how the ad went. Now, most people I know don't look for joy in the bottom of a yogurt cup. If you were like me, it was more like a bottle of brandy, and let me tell you, there's no joy there either, just more heartache. You want real joy, you come to Jesus. Restore to me the joy, my salvation. Luke 15, Jesus speaks three parables, a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. And we read about the celebration that happens when they are found. In verse 10, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Liesl made reference to that now. When one person comes, every person that comes to the Lord, when you came to Jesus, there was a party in heaven, there was celebration. There was praising. There was joy. Yes, another one. Another one whose place is booked at the table of the feast of the Lamb. Celebration. We started reading about Nehemiah telling the people that the joy of the Lord is his strength. He was speaking to Jewish people, and celebration was very much part of the Jewish custom. All these feasts. How much more so should it be for us as Christians? We've got a much deeper understanding of God's grace because we know Jesus Christ. We have the full truth. Truth is a person. Truth is embodied in Jesus Christ. We know that. How much more should we be feasting and celebrating even than the Jewish people? In Luke 15 verse 23 and 24, with the lost son returns. And the loving father tells his servants, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. I don't know if you've ever had that unction just to shout out the name of Jesus from the top of a mountain or somewhere. Sometimes it's challenging for me to do that. Oh, who's going to hear, you know? But I've done it in public. I've done it in private. I've done it on mountains. I've done it in valleys. I've done it in my car. I've done it in my motorbike helmet many times. You know, we need to experience the joy of the Lord. We need to experience that place where Jesus is our all in all, where we realize we don't need anything, and in Jesus that we have everything. And that should fill our hearts with so much joy that we just want to shout it out from the rooftops as we sang this morning. To shout it out. Joy. That's what you do when you're happy. How do you act when your team scores a goal or a try or wins a tournament? I mean, you're jumping up and you're shouting for joy and you're high-fiving and hugging. How much more so? Have you ever done that for Jesus and for what he has done for you? Shout it out. We need to start shouting so that the town can hear us. That they come here and say, what is all this fuss about? We say, let us tell you. Sit down. Luke 10 verse 20. The disciples return from Jesus sending them out two by two to proclaim the message of the kingdom and to heal the sick and to cast out demons out of the oppressed. And they return and they're so excited because the spirits are subject to them in the name of Jesus. And Jesus says to them, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Every believer, no matter how mature or immature, has something to rejoice about. Your name is written in heaven, the book of the Lamb. That is first prize in this whole world. That's better than being the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Jesus was joyful. Yes, he was also a man of sorrows, but also joyful. We mustn't just walk around, you know, downcast or whatever when times are tough. We must strengthen ourselves in the Lord. We must rejoice. The word says we must rejoice in trial and tribulation. When we get that right, then we're going places. When we get that right, then our light starts shining truly brightly. When we can rejoice in trial and tribulation. Now that is the opposite of the way the world responds in difficult times. Then they start noticing us more and more. Then they want to hear what we have to say. Jesus at that time, full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Where is that joy coming from? Said last week, you know, some of us men, we're working on growing our spirit man. It's, yeah, your spirit is somewhere here, and some of us are growing it. And the joy is seated there. It's coming by way of the Holy Spirit indwelling. This is not a fabricated joy. This is one that's coming via the Holy Spirit that was given to us. You have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. What does the Holy Spirit have to be sad about right now? The Holy Spirit is rejoicing. The Holy Spirit is holy. Within himself, he's got nothing to be sorrowful for. The indwelling Holy Spirit is there in the believer to lead us, to direct us, to teach us, to help us to respond in the right manner when we face all kinds of trials. The Holy Spirit is a joyful spirit. One of the emblems of the Holy Spirit in Scripture is wine, and that's symbolic for joy. Joy. Joy is part of the nature of the Holy Spirit, and that's inside of you. So when you want to come in line with God, tap into His Spirit, become joyful. Look at this in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. We read about the fruit of the Spirit. Tell me, am I wrong, or do I not see sadness anywhere there? Do I see complaining, moaning, murmuring, backbiting? But the fruit of the Spirit, say it with me, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let's say the second one again. Joy. Okay, let's say it louder. Like Mojo's catching it. There's some joy at the back. Normally it's the front seats that are anointed, but today. Okay, so say that with me really loudly. Joy. Okay, we're getting there. Peace as well, sister. Okay. So, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, it's where our joy comes from. It's where we tap into. We need to ask God to continuously fill us with the Holy Spirit. You read through the book of Acts and it says, and the believers filled with the Holy Spirit went out. Boom. And filled with the Holy Spirit. They prayed and then filled with the Holy Spirit. When we allow God, when we ask God to fill us with His Spirit, things happen. Joy is to be found. Let's look at Isaiah 61 in closing, the first 7 verses. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. This is a beautiful picture of salvation that we see in this chapter. What the new life looks like with Christ. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will build the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You'll be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Verse 7, instead of your shame, you'll receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so You will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. In the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. So we can, at least on one account, rejoice and be joyful about the fact that we're going to be rejoicing and be joyful for an eternity with God. Who doesn't want to be in a position of rejoicing? Who doesn't want to experience that? That's got to be one of the ultimate emotions that we can experience. And for the believer, it's right there inside you from the Lord in Christ all the time available to you. Rejoice even in tribulation. How much easier is it to rejoice when things are going well, when you are very much aware of God's blessing on your life? Paul says, rejoice always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Okay, they almost broke out into song. Always, always, joy. It's something that's been on my heart for a long time. But that we'd experience that joy more and more, and that it will actually show, that it will be a hallmark of the church, the joy of the Lord. That is something that the world's going to see. That is something that's going to bring glory to our God. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son that we might inherit the abundant life, a life of joy and rejoicing, not in our own abilities or strength, but in who you are and what you have done for us. I pray, Lord, as a church, you'll restore to us, Lord, the joy of our salvation. Because it is a joy, Lord, to know you. It's a joy, Lord, to serve you. I pray, Lord, that it would manifest outwardly, Lord, this joy that we have inside of us via your Spirit. We thank you, God, for your indwelling Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you have filled us with your Spirit. I pray specifically, Lord, for those people this morning that are struggling, that have heavy burdens, Lord, that have lost heart, Father. I pray, Lord God, that you will come and stir up the gift that is in them, that you'll come and stir up also, Lord, a joy inside of them, Lord. They are temples of your Spirit, Father. I pray, Lord, that your joy will bubble up inside of them, Father. That you'll turn their mourning into gladness. That you'll anoint them with the oil of joy, Father. Joy, Lord, no matter where we are. Joy, Lord, when we come together. Celebration. What you have done for us. That our names are written in heaven. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to pray this morning specifically for anyone who's here who doesn't know this joy, this unspeakable joy. Anyone here this morning who's not in a personal relationship with Jesus. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll come and lay it on their hearts. Revelation of their need for you, Lord. This morning, I want to ask you all to stand with me, please. I want to ask you all to stand. And this morning, if you don't know that joy, you don't know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. You haven't experienced the Lord coming through for you. You haven't experienced the Lord leading you. You don't have an intimate relationship with him this morning. Well, this morning we want to pray with you. We want to introduce you to the lover of your soul, the one who gave it all for you. This is not for us. It's not a person that you come into this morning. The invitation is to come to Jesus, because only He can save you. If you don't know Jesus, then you don't have true life. You can ask many in this room. Many of us thought we had true life. Many of us tasted everything the world has to offer, but that was not life. When we came to know Jesus, that's when we found new life. And we will not turn back, because what we have in Jesus is so much better. One day in the courts of our God is better than 1,000 elsewhere. This morning, if you don't know Jesus, please come forward right now from where you are. Just step out and come forward, and we want to pray with you. And just come and stand here in front of me. And then there's another group of people I want to call forward. And that's if you're struggling in this area to experience the joy of the Lord. If you struggle with that, there's some kind of a block or hindrance, I want you to come forward as well. We want to lay hands on you and anoint you and pray for you that you'll experience the joy of the Lord. That you'll experience the joy of the Lord. Please come forward right now. We're going to sing a song, and while we're singing, I want you to step out and come forward if you want prayer in any of these two areas, okay? I'd like to ask the band if we can sing Rooftops. That'll be great. Thank you. God bless you.